about.
You, in the middle of something?
No, just, having a little chat here in the dark corner of the American experiment.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
I'm already pretty happy that Bean's gonna die someday.
And now.
I'm not fine at all. I can't even pretend. This whole thing feels like a puzzle with no possible solution, like a Rubik's Cube.
Those actually do have solutions.
I mean, yeah, if you take all the stickers off and restick them.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, I never thought of that. Take the stickers off. Good idea.
See? I love her.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Tuesday morning, the 17th of February.
What's happening, people?
Hey, Bean.
Hey, Guy.
How was your long holiday? Where you did exciting and fun things.
Thank you for asking. I did hike the Grand Canyon. I did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Actually, wait. I didn't. I actually didn't leave my house. Right. That wasn't me. That wasn't me at all. But weekends are good, and long weekends are better, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God. Yes.
It's fun. I like that. I like the whole 4-day work week thing.
I do, too. Let's make that happen.
And I do feel bad for the many listeners who did not have the luxury of President's Day off, who were pretty mad at us yesterday because we weren't on and there was no podcast. And they were
right,
like, what's up with that?
But we're not communists, right, like perhaps they are.
Right. If you hate America
right.
and want to work on President's Day, that's on you, dude.
Make us feel bad for it.
That's right, man. But we were home learning all the presidents in order. That's what we were doing with our holidays.
That is what we were doing.
it was a fine weekend. I'm feeling a little guilty about some of this weather across the country. It just seems like it's too much for people to be able to survive. You know, when you're at the 6 and 8 feet of snow level and it's continuing to... Did you see they had a blizzicane in Massachusetts over the weekend?
No, but I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
Get on it, sci-fi.
I was in the dry cleaners in flip-flops watching on their CNN feed. Hurricane force winds hitting Cape Cod. I'm like,
yes,
this is bizarre.
60 mile an hour winds while it's snowing like a mother effer. I mean, what's going on in the world today?
That's nuts.
Meanwhile, it's 90 at your house.
Yeah.
It's 60 at my house in February. Like, the world's turned upside down. Way to go, Al Gore.
Stupid Al Gore.
Stupid Al Gore. Anyway, we are back with an all-new program today, and I think it's going to be a good one. Let me get started with this story. Speaking of stupid, this guy's in Sparta, New Jersey. He's drunk driving on Saturday morning, and he crashes his car. He's driving a 2001 black BMW. He crashes it into a guardrail after blowing through a stop sign near an intersection. Okay?
Okay.
Now, the one thing it doesn't say in the article is if he was able to drive his car after the accident, why did he leave and not just stay away? Why did he come back? But he came up with a brilliant plan. He wanted to make it look like an accident to cover up the fact that he was drunk driving.
Okay.
So he drove home, got a friend, and said, hey, let's go back and stage this by pouring water all over the roads to make it look like black ice is what caused me to spin out, not the fact that I was drunk.
Okay.
Are you following all of this?
Yeah.
Are you following this genius plan?
I think.
Again, if he wasn't arrested, if nobody saw the accident and he was able to drive home, why didn't he just stay there?
Why come back to the scene?
Yes. So he gets a friend who brings him back to the scene and he starts pouring. He brings gallons of water and he starts pouring water all over the road. Okay. Unfortunately, it's 2:45 a.m. at this point and a police officer sees him out on the road pouring water all over the road. Arrests the man and his friend, saw the 5-gallon buckets in the back of the car, some of which still had water inside. It is unclear how many trips back and forth they took. So there could have been multiple trips to go get water to try to create black ice. I don't know.
Was he still drunk?
He was still drunk. His friend was not only still drunk, his friend wasn't wearing a shirt at 2:45 in the morning in New Jersey with wind chills of minus 15.
Wow.
That shows you how drunk his friend was,
no
right?
No kidding.
Well, the man was arrested and charged with driving while intoxicated, careless driving, failure to stop at a stop sign, which I assume he volunteered that information to the police because nobody saw him do it. Leaving the scene of an accident, failure to report an accident, disorderly conduct, which, by the way, was they gave him disorderly conduct because he was trying to make ice on the road.
Yeah.
Which is deliberately icing, which makes it incredibly difficult for anybody else who's coming along who actually could have an accident because of the ice. Police say the town's public works department had to apply a half a ton of salt on the road to make it safe for driving.
That's insane.
This is a series of horrible decisions that are being made, starting with the drunk driving. But every decision he made after that just made things worse for him, didn't it?
Yeah, he goes home and then he thinks, I need to come up with a plan. That's wrong right there. You got away.
And then his plan is to go back with a friend who's drunk driving to take you back to the scene and then to create a traffic hazard for everybody else.
Yeah.
So good. I can't believe that story didn't happen in Florida. I guess the only reason he didn't is because there's not enough ice.
But, yeah, they wouldn't have thought of that. I would have thought of something else.
Exactly. So good times. Way to go, New Jersey.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBicho, shall we?
Oh, yes! 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 We got it, baby! We got it! We got it! Woo! Woo! We got it! Yes! Listen to that! Listen to that! Oh, baby! Yes! Yes! Woo!
I got to be honest, I'm not that excited about the show.
There must be something. Maybe he loves that Kendra Sunderland. Maybe that's what that guy's all excited
Kendra
about.
Kendra Sunderland will be here. She's an Oregon State student that started doing her webcam in the library of the school. And then they said, hey, not so much of that. And she said, adios.
Right.
Now she's doing that full time, apparently.
She's too hot for college anyway.
Okay. All right. Yeah. She certainly doesn't need it for that.
She doesn't need it, right. Work. While she's young, she doesn't need college.
The Bachelor Report on the program today. Ralph and Petros will be joining us.
I guess there were two Bachelors over there?
I think there was one Sunday, one Monday.
Wow, a lot to catch up on then.
Saturday Night Live highlights.
Yes. What? What are you saying?
Well, I watched some of it, and I really was enjoying it.
It was terrible.
It was terrific.
You're funny.
I mean,
Harvey
Levin.
Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Lightning's here to tell us about the Bugatti. Remember on Friday we were talking about how it's a $2 million car that cost $21,000 just to get an oil change. We did not believe that.
That's insane.
Now, is there a justification for that, or is he just going to confirm that that's what it cost?
I don't know.
Because I don't see, I mean,
how
can they justify an oil change costing over 20 grand? Exactly. Unless it's just, I'm so rich, I need to spend ridiculous amounts of money to feel rich.
So they just tack it on?
I have no idea.
Because they can?
I'm very eager to hear the discussion of why that's a thing.
The Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, will be here. And our friend Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat now. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:54.
By the way, just announced K-Rock's new world tour, 2015 destination number 5. Check this out, you guys. You go see Fall Out Boy at the Hollywood Bowl, and then you're in the grand prize drawing that we do Friday to send you to see them in Tokyo, Japan.
What?
Free trip to Japan.
Godzilla! Godzilla's coming!
Always wanted to go there. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would
Giant
be awesome.
Lizard lives there, man.
Yeah,
you're on your own. It's true.
It does seem dangerous. I got to admit, it does seem dangerous. All right, Ralph is here now. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a brand new week here on the Kevin DeBicho Show.
Well, what a weekend at the box office. We look at the top 10 movies at the box office each and every weekend. This holiday weekend, it was kind of crazy. There was like $4 billion made at the box office with the top three movies alone. The top film, as expected, was 50 Shades of Grey. However, The high-end estimates they're saying maybe $80, $85 million. I don't think anyone expected $95 million at the box office this weekend, but that's what it made. Crushing.
And that's with no superheroes, no special effects, and no big stars.
Nope. Just lonely ladies.
That's unbelievable, Ralph.
It had the vagina.
$95 million.
Kingsman. The Secret Service, in its debut, did $42 million worth of business.
Kevin, what'd you think?
Which normally would be number one by a long shot.
That would be a big number
42
one.
I thought it was good, but not as good as I hoped. But it was good. When you go into a movie thinking it's going to be great, a lot of times that's just your expectations, and then you're sort of let down a little bit. But it was good.
The SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, was $40 million at the box office this weekend. So any one of those films could have been number one in a regular weekend. But the third biggest grossing movie of the weekend was $40 million with SpongeBob. American Sniper was fourth, and Jupiter Ascending at number five. Paddington, The Seventh Son, The Imitation Game, The Wedding Ringer, and Project Almanac. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. It is on. Very entertaining Twitter feud this weekend.
Sweet.
Between Amber Rose and Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, I love this. Yeah. Whose side are you on, Ralph?
I'm Amber Rose all the way.
All right.
South Philly. Represent! It's been spectacular. At first, Kylie Jenner is having some sort of relationship with the rapper Tyga.
Okay.
And so Amber Rose made some comments on what she thinks about that. And I think it's because Tyga has a kid with Amber's BFF, Black Chyna. And so that led Khloe Kardashian to come to her sister's defense, calling out Amber Rose for being a stripper when she was 15. And Amber Rose has admitted this in her past.
Okay.
And
sound legal, by the way.
No, it does not. But Khloe Kardashian said, please don't worry about my sister who has a career and her S together at only 17. People who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Please stop talking about us in interviews, Mama. None of us talk about you. Although she was talking about her right there and then. So Amber then shot back at Khloe with a meme about Kanye West, Khloe's brother-in-law, and its caption, when your sister-in-law calls your ex out for being a stripper, but your wife has a sex tape. Boom!
Boom.
And then she came back with, you know, I'll be a whore to make money for my family, just like your older sister was a whore to make money for her
family.
Boom! So she dropped the bomb. And then she sent out another meme picture of Kanye dressing the entire Kardashian family with his back to the camera. And underneath it says, she's from South Philadelphia. You may not want any of this problem. It is on! She'll cut you.
I love it.
I do, too.
Why isn't there celebrity boxing anymore? That's how all of these should be handled.
You should start it again. Bring it up, Bean. Get yourself a ring.
Could make that work.
And you could be the promoter. You could be the Don King of celebrity boxers.
I like it.
And sad day today.
Why? What happened?
Mike Sorrentino, the situation.
Yeah.
He had to shut the doors of his tanning salon.
Oh.
Yeah, his tanning salon's out of business.
Well, that hurts.
Yeah, he fell behind on his rent. Landlord took him to court. They struck a deal to settle for $32,000, and he missed his first payment. So they shut the doors forever. Very sad.
How inept do you have to be to not keep a tanning salon open in New Jersey?
And your situation.
Yeah.
Who's known for only three things.
Right.
Gym, tanning, laundry. That's all you're nearly known for.
And could you ask for better winter weather to cooperate in terms of wanting people to go inside to get a tan?
Nope. That sunbed would feel pretty good, I would think, this time of year.
He must have been doing a lot of things wrong to have that fail.
Yeah. He thought he had everything going in his favor.
He did.
That's insane.
He is not a good businessman,
nope.
I'm guessing. And sad news, Leslie Gore has passed away, the singer-songwriter. It's my party. I'll cry if I want to.
Sure.
Judy's Turn to Cry. You Don't Own Me.
I knew the first one.
You know all of them.
Okay.
68 years old, she passed away this week. You know she was nominated for an Oscar?
I did not.
She co-wrote one of the songs from the movie Fame alongside her brother years ago. So, talented lady passed away. Today's celebrity birthdays, Michael Jordan. He used to play basketball, I'm led to believe.
I only know him as a minor league baseball player. He played basketball, too?
I only know him as a salesman for T-shirts.
Huh.
But he is 52 years old today. Ed Sheeran is 24. Billy Joe Armstrong turns 43. Paris Hilton is 34 years old. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 34. Cord Overstreet from Glee is 26. Larry the Cable Guy. Oh, this guy. Well, when he does the thing he has no sleeves, and then he's on the water ski selling Prilosec. That's funny.
Is he the person that went on 60 Minutes? Maybe you know, Bean. Went on 60 Minutes and said, it's just an act. I'm not like that.
I don't remember that interview. I remember David Cross had a beef with him because it was just an act and he was pretending to be so stupid. I remember they had a little bit of a feud.
Yeah, I don't think he ever publicly addressed it, Kevin, but it's been well known for a while that he's a guy from, like, Washington, D.C. And there's tons of video of him as a stand-up before he ever started doing the act and everything. And yeah, it's kind of sad. Him and Paul Blart should get together, make a movie. And Michael Bay, creator of so many wonderful films, that Kevin likes. He's 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to talk about and play some highlights from Sunday night's 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live special. 23 million people tune in to see that thing.
Oh, that's a lot of disappointment.
Oh, Kevin.
It's a lot of love is what it is. Let's go to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com like we do after a weekend. Hey, Harvey, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
What did you think of the SNL show? Did you watch it? Kevin did not like it.
It was uneven.
Uneven.
I loved the, you know what, the first hour, the red carpet, just seeing everybody was kind of fun and cool. And I loved the Jeopardy skit. I thought that
was... Celebrity Jeopardy was
great.
That was the best.
Yeah.
I loved that.
I thought the Wayne's World sketch was great, too. I thought...
But it went on for like a day and a half.
Seeing the celebrity audition tapes, you know, all the people who have auditioned.
Loved the audition tapes.
I thought that was so cool, too. I thought Steve Martin was brilliant. I thought Martin Short was brilliant. I mean, there were... Look, it's a 3.5-hour show. Nobody's going to like everything on the show. But there were way more highlights than lowlights.
And in many ways, it kind of reflected what Saturday Night Live has been for 40 years, which
absolutely.
Is there's some really great things, and some things don't work, but that's kind of the fun of it.
Exactly, yeah. Well, we're going to be talking about that coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph brought us up to speed with the latest on this celebrity feud that you've been covering all weekend long between Amber Rose and the Kardashians. This is a good one. I think we're heading toward a girl fight here, Harvey.
This is like one of those out-of-body experiences where I think, how come I know this stuff so well?
Yeah, well.
why should I know this story? But here's the deal. You know that Tyga and Blac Chyna had a baby together, and Tyga left Blac Chyna. Blac Chyna was best friends with Kim Kardashian, and then all of a sudden, Tyga hooks up with her sister. Mm-hmm. And her sister is 17 years old, right, Kylie? And so, Tyga hooks up with Kylie. Now, there have been rumors about, are they dating, are they this, they're together all the time.
Right.
And it seems to be some form of relationship. Tyga has always said, no, we're not dating, but they're always together. And then Amber Rose steps in, and Amber Rose, who is Blac Chyna, one of her best friends, feels like, I gotta say something about this, so she starts trashing Kylie. And then when she trashes Kylie, they start going back and forth. And Khloé steps in, and Khloé says that you were a stripper when you were 15. How dare you? And then Amber comes back and says, oh, you want to talk about that? Your sister's a whore.
Yeah! It's on!
Now, I knew
I'd get applause on that.
I love it!
I got a new development here.
Okay. Oh, great.
Tyga now was on The Breakfast Club, and Tyga is saying, I am not banging Kylie Jenner, because remember, she's 17.
Right.
So he now has made a declaration that he's not banging her. So, yeah, you're pretty much right. This has become all at war.
And The Breakfast Club, that's the Power 105 New York City radio show,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Okay. So what about what Amber Rose said? And by the way, I can't believe we are adult white men having a conversation about people named Blac Chyna and Tyga. But
that's what I think.
That's part of the charm of it.
What about what Amber said? Was she suggesting that Tyga left a girl and a baby to be with the Kylie Jenner?
Absolutely. That's exactly what she was suggesting. And Tyga is saying, absolutely not. I did not leave Blac Chyna for Kylie. But Amber is saying, you had this beautiful wife, this beautiful baby, and you left her for this 16-year-old at the time.
Right,
Which then makes it seem like Blac Chyna is clearly not over Tyga because why would she be railing on Kylie and saying you left this? It's like if Blac Chyna were over it, it would be done.
Harvey, this is your life right now. You're saying you're saying all of these things.
That's what I'm saying to you. It's like an out of body experience. Yeah. I cannot believe I know this.
All right, let me ask you one more thing on this, and that is
how much less. Of me if you thought anything of me before.
Yeah, well, true.
Let me ask you this. I get that Khloé wanted to come to her sister's defense. I understand that, especially since, you know, Kylie is so young. What do you think about the way she handled it online? Do you think it made things worse, or do you think it made things better?
Well, for you, it made it better.
It made it way better for us, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, look, this is the way they live. I mean, these little feuds are... actually part of celebrity right now. I mean, look at Iggy Azalea. Look at Drake. I mean, look at rap. It's all about feuds. And feuds on Twitter, feuds on Instagram, feuds in rap songs is what drives celebrity now. And all of these little petty feuds are what everybody's into. It's everywhere. It is everywhere.
Yeah, I guess you're right. And as Ralph pointed out last hour also, let's not forget that Amber used to date Kim Kardashian's husband, Kanye West, so she's already kind of got it in for that family anyway, right?
It's like there are five people in town.
Yeah.
Everybody is banged, every configuration.
I feel like we should be living in Arkansas, if that's the case.
No comment.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
The television show's on in Arkansas. I love Arkansas.
Ah, you love Arkansas. So do we. So do we, everybody.
Speaking of the TV show, you can look for it all day long on Fox Channel 11. TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4 on Fox. And don't forget the TMZ Sports, Hollywood Sports, rather, airs at 3 p.m. on The Reels channel Monday through Friday as well. Harvey, good luck with keeping all this straight, man. Thanks for the time. Have a great week, sir.
You too, guys.
How can an oil change cost $23,000? We'll find out just after 7 o'clock this morning here on The Kevin Bean Show. And then our friend, the pit bull of comedy, Bobby Slayton, will be here as well. It's all on the way here from K-Rock.
So the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live is on Sunday night.
It's still on.
Still on.
They're still doing it. Yeah, they're still trotting out.
That's still a thing.
It was a lengthy program.
It was 3 hours and 40 minutes.
No, it was tight. It was a tight, concise, entertaining show.
Saturday Night Live, to me, does what they do best, which is take really funny people, people that I like a lot, and make it a completely dull show, which is what they did on Sunday night. There were some highlights.
There were a lot of highlights.
There were some. And how could there not be if you had that many funny people in the room? Accidentally, you'd have to run across a few laughs.
Yeah,
right?
And highlights from the past 40 years. I thought it was going to be really good the whole way through.
That's what I'm saying. How could it not be better when you have 40 years of the best that you can cull from and you give us 7 minutes of the Californians? Really, that's how you're going to put your best foot forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was insane that show wasn't great. How could that show not be great?
That's what I thought. I said something negative about it on Twitter, and somebody wrote back, hey, if you expected it to be bad, why did you watch this? I didn't expect it to be bad. I thought after 40 years of high, even if they just played clips, it would have been great.
Just clips.
And I don't think they did a lot of clips. I think their goal was to do a lot of live stuff, and that's what the show ended up being. But here's what I don't get about you, Kevin. I know we're going to get to some clips here.
Right.
You'll go see the worst movie in the world, and you'll walk out and you'll go, well, it had a couple of good parts, and that's enough for me.
Right.
Well, there were...
And then, hold on. And then you guys yell at me for doing that. Right?
Right. Saying, yes. Okay. Right.
Even if you cut out all the stuff that sucked or edited out the stuff that went too long.
You've got 45 minutes.
You probably have still 2 hours out of 3.5 hours that is really funny stuff.
Just
how
not
is
the
that
case.
Not enough,
it
though?
Just wasn't the case. It wasn't the case. Steve Martin.
Yeah.
Tom great. Hanks. Melissa McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And Miley Cyrus in this clip.
Now, why did Lauren ask me to come out here tonight? Because I am a comedian. And comedians are the ones who have been the staple of the show. I still love doing stand-up. It's a busy, hectic world out there. Lots of demands on your time. But out here, alone, on stage, doing comedy, I can just relax and enjoy the silence.
Stephen, what about actors? Now, actors have hosted this show many, many times. Actors.
Oh, my God, it's America's Tom Hanks.
Thank
ladies
you.
And gentlemen. It took me a minute to recognize.
You know, Steve, actors bring to the show a legitimacy and a nuance that you simple comedians just can't pull off.
Oh, Tom, let's just face it. Acting is yelling for money.
You're not going to play this whole opening monologue, are you?
This wasn't the best part.
It was brutal.
That was maybe a fourth of that clip.
Why did you pick the bad thing?
You may not know this, Kevin, but a lot of people hosted Saturday Night Live. There have been a lot of people who hosted it from all different walks of life.
Lisa and just asked me why I picked the bad things, because that was what the show was.
I was just
watching clips that were making me laugh. Why didn't you pick those things?
Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake. Mm-hmm. Before Steve Martin, even were long and really just not very good. Then that was long.
Seemed
and really
like they had no
good.
Rehearsal. Like they had, it was the first time out there.
Celebrity Jeopardy was great.
Yes.
I thought that was great.
It was a funny
really
sketch.
Fun. I like Will Ferrell. I like everybody else that was on there.
Daryl Hammond as Sean Connery is awesome.
Yes.
Welcome back to Celebrity Jeopardy.
Put that in mono, please. I don't know why exactly that's happening. Or left channel. Yeah, and it was funny, but it went on forever. That's what Saturday Night Live does. They take something that's funny, and they just kept going and going. They brought in Norm MacDonald, wasn't making any sense, saying he was Burt Reynolds.
He looked great as a Burt Reynolds.
It was everybody who'd ever done an impression on that show they brought out. It did run long.
That ran long. Is that not working? Don't make me go to the Californians and Taylor Swift.
Oh, for sweet Jesus. Sweet Jesus.
I'll do that.
What about...
Bean, let me just ask this question this way. With the list of people who were there, did you think that the list of people equaled the quality of the show?
I did.
Wow.
That is insane.
That's
I absolutely did. I thought it was a terrific show that definitely had some disappointments, definitely had some stuff that went long. I accept your criticisms of the program. I really do.
What was good? Hold on. Let me play a clip that I think was good. It was Celebrity.
And welcome back to Celebrity Jeopardy. Let's take a look at the score. Sean Connery currently sits at negative $3,000.
And your mother currently sits on my face, Trebek.
Way too early for that. Way too early. Next, Justin Bieber at negative 17,000.
Yeah, it's like there hasn't been a lot up here, right? But there's so much in here, and I just want to get it out, girl.
You think that I, a grown adult man, am a girl?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
And in last place, Tony Bennett, whose score is so low, it can't be represented by a real number.
I'm having a great, great, great time now. Tonight I said bells and buzzes, dings and bings. It's like Atlantic City took a giant crap, and out came the 4th of July.
What a lovely image. Let's take a look at the board. And the categories are potent potables, letters that begin with G, who reads, let it snow, state your name. In that category, all you need to do is state your name. Famous Oprahs and potpourri. Sean, you control the board.
I'll take whore ads for 200.
That was good.
It is who reads. That's it, Connery. You're on a timeout.
See, because he said whore ads, but it was who reads. That was a funny skit. It went on for a while, but it was funny to me.
There are a lot of funny skits.
Name them.
Well, I don't have...
How about 7 minutes of Californians?
I liked that. I enjoyed it.
It was too long. Wow. It was too long.
I still
long.
Enjoyed it, though.
It was absolutely too long.
Okay, but Bean, let me just...
But I have to tell you, Betty White making out with Bradley Cooper was a great moment.
What?
Why is it great? Because she's old? Is that why that's funny?
She's 93 years old and she's making out with Bradley Cooper.
Because an old
lady's funny.
Kissing somebody, that's automatically funny.
It was funny.
Absolutely.
Your threshold is so low.
Jerry Seinfeld took questions from the audience. That was mostly
just
death.
How do you make Jerry Seinfeld dull?
A great bit.
Great bit.
You know what
Very
I think
funny.
It might be, Bean, is that you and Lisa watch it regularly. And so for you guys, maybe all of that was fond memories. Like you like
about
this,
that.
You like
I
that.
I thought about that, but I think what's going on is that you and Ralph don't watch the show, but talk about how bad it is all the time. You hate it, so I think it would be difficult for you to tune in and then go, oh, wait, some of it actually is pretty good.
No, I wanted it to be good. You're wrong. I wanted it to be good. I thought it
I've watched Saturday Night Live my whole life until recently, so it's not that I wanted it to be bad either. Certainly don't want Steve Martin to be bad. I don't want Jerry Seinfeld to be disappointing.
Which he was. And then Miley Cyrus came out, introduced by the lead singer of Arcade Fire.
What, right.
How's that decision made?
Is that who that was? I didn't even know who it was.
Yeah, Wade Butler. I think I'd rather see Arcade.
And Candice Bergen, introduced
her. Okay, Candice Bergen.
Now, what'd you think of her performance? I thought it was terrific.
Why is she singing a 45-year-old song from Paul Simon?
Look, one of the complaints.
Honestly, I'm asking you that question.
I'm going to answer you. Lorne Michaels' best friend in the world is Paul Simon.
Right.
That's why there was too much Paul Simon on the show. I agree with that. They did a sketch with him in the beginning with Paul McCartney. He came out near the end and sang one of his songs. My guess is that was a tribute to 1975, the year that Saturday Night Live began, and they chose a current artist to do a song from that year as a tribute on SNL.
But was that even a big song for him? I'm not honestly asking
one,
that because
number
I don't know.
One record.
It was number one. Okay.
Oh yeah, it was a huge in 1975. And he performed it on the show in its first year in 1970. I think on the second show, as a matter of fact, of Saturday Night Live. And I thought she did a great job with that song too. By the way, look,
there's a billion musical acts you probably would have preferred to see.
Yes,
Miley Cyrus,
and they've had everyone.
But she is a current contemporary popular artist.
That's not contemporary song.
Why not use that time showing a montage of clips of the great musical moments on Saturday Night Live, which they ignored, but they gave us a big chunk of sports moments on Saturday Night Live.
I can't.
Was that good to you, Bean?
I can't answer the question. I thought the sports montage was just okay. I thought it was a little bit disappointing. It was neat to see Michael Jordan and Wayne Gretzky and, you know, and Mike Piazza and all the other people who have, Derek Jeter, all the other people who have been on the show over the years. I thought that was kind
of
cool.
Let me ask you about the montage that they did of something that we all like, which was the auditions.
Uh-huh. I wish we could have seen longer auditions.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
All they did was say their names.
Yeah.
It was barely even a montage. I didn't even understand that. Like, if you have these auditions, which with all of the biggest stars of SNL, why not give them, 10 seconds?
That would have been amazing to see.
They just said their
longer
names.
Yeah.
No, how is that good?
It was
fun to see, but I wanted to see
it. It was funny
more
to see all the people who auditioned that didn't get hired, like Stephen Colbert and Zach Galifianakis and Jim Carrey.
Right,
and
but you
like
didn't
that
see anything that they did that was interesting or funny. They just said their names, right? Yeah. Am I wrong on
no
that?
No.
All right, Taylor Swift is a Californian.
Oh.
California's a skit they do where they always talk about
the
freeways, soap opera. They always have to mention where they are in Southern California. And Taylor Swift.
Why don't you do your line from the movie?
Okay, but just picture me on Spice. Like in the Spice. Captain, the Zargons are in pursuit and there's aliens everywhere. I suggest we take a wormhole all the way to Sector 7, go right at the space station, and then you'll see Planet Terror 4 on your left. I only wish that Great Aunt Lana were here to see me on the big screen. But she's dead. No, I'm not. I'm alive.
Yeah, Betty White comes in. She makes out with Bradley Cooper. Seriously.
She was fine.
All right, B,
you know what we needed more of? People impersonating dead characters from Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
How do you take Emma Stone and make her embarrass herself on national television?
It wasn't embarrassing at all. Those were tributes to cast members.
I'm not an idiot. I know what they were. Were they funny or good?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And I
Melissa McCarthy doing Chris Farley was one of the highlights of the whole
show. That was funny.
She was hilarious.
That was fine. I was fine with that.
That was it was a good idea, a way to pay tribute to Gilda Radner and people like that who have passed on.
No, it was an embarrassing moment where you say, look how not as good these people are as the original. It's like having Dan Aykroyd do Bass-O-Matic. Trotting out that 65-year-old Dan Aykroyd, having him do one of the great all-time SNL sketches and doing it poorly was just sad.
But at least it took 8 to 10 minutes.
I disagree. I didn't think that was sad. Huh. Although it was funny when his Bass-O-Matic jammed up.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. That was one of the highlights of the show.
Was that worth the 10 minutes?
Absolutely.
Zach Galifianakis was funny. He came out and see his hair. That was funny. But overall,
Marty Short, I thought was great. Marty Short and Maya Rudolph, I thought that they were having a good time.
Yeah.
That was like a refreshing moment of entertainment in the middle of 3.5 hours.
All right, Bean, scale of 1 to 10. This is the 40th anniversary of Saturday Night Live. Did they do it justice? In 3 hours and 40 minutes, did that?
I think so. I think they did. Look, you could nitpick it. My biggest complaint we haven't even mentioned yet, and we're out of time, which was what a waste of our time it was having Eddie Murphy come out for one minute and say, hey, am I great?
He just came out and said, thank you. They can't even have been happy with that.
No, they can't be. I mean, that was something that we were – I mean, he hadn't been on the stage in 32 years. We were really looking forward to him doing something.
And Chris Rock gave him –
he should have done something.
An amazing intro.
Yeah.
And then he just came out and said, it's great to be appreciated. Thanks, everybody.
That was the biggest disappointment of the whole night for me, is that they wasted having Eddie Murphy there. I agree. Yeah, I thought it was a really good show. Look, you absolutely make some legitimate complaints. Was it a perfect show? No. Was it too long? Yes. Were there plenty of highlights that made me glad I saw it? Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm a no on that one. Big
missed
time,
opportunity, though. A huge missed opportunity.
Yeah,
I
figured after
show.
40 years, it should be strong every minute beginning to end, right?
It was bloated and over and super indulgent, and it was the kind of show that Saturday Night Live would have made fun of back in its heyday. They would have mocked that show.
So we're going to have to agree to disagree?
Yep. I think so.
Okay, good.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
2.2.
Just after 7 o'clock this morning, we'll find out what's up with the Bugatti. Rob is here now. Time for the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning.
You have to admit, Kanye West's performance was magical on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. That was bad, too.
We were talking about that when you were out of the room, Ralph. That was, I give him some credit for some inventive staging, but it was awfully low energy for a Kanye medley, wasn't it?
No. Laying down the floor was an excellent choice, I think, on his part.
It seems
with
like
a microphone in his face.
It seems like he hasn't been an interesting performer in a long time, like since he got this giant chip on his shoulder.
He sure loves auto-tune.
He has such disdain for his audience. I get the sense he just actually, you can feel him disliking his audience.
But that wasn't
planning
the case.
To punish them.
That wasn't the case earlier, right? I mean, I think he used to be great in concert. And
I think so too.
Now he's always interesting at best.
Self-indulgent.
Yeah. Now he's got eyes like a husky, though, with those blue contact lenses.
I did like Sia, though. I liked her hair. That was good.
We know what you look like. Stop it. If we want to find out what you look like, we go online, type in Sia face. Google images. There's hundreds of pictures of you. What are you hiding?
By the way, our friend Ally McKay had a great line on Twitter during the SNL show. She said, the best sketch of the night would have been if when Paul Simon came out to perform his number, if he had been laying on the floor singing it into the microphone like Kanye.
Yeah, but that would have required some kind of creativity and funny.
All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. 50 Shades of Grey did just okay. Just all right. $95 million it made this week.
$95 million.
You heard me. $95 million. I don't have the number here. I looked it up. Internationally, worldwide, it's made something like $235 million this weekend.
Wasn't this like the best February opening ever or something?
Best February opening ever, best Valentine's weekend opening ever, best President's Day long holiday weekend ever. It was just, it broke all the records.
We had Guys Night Out at the Bicycle Club. There was a guy there that was playing poker that had a Jeff Carter Kings jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, you going to the game tomorrow night, Saturday night? And he's like, no, it's Valentine's Day. I said, don't tell me 50. Yep, 50 Shades of Grey.
No.
I was like, sicker.
Kingsman The Secret Service was second with $42 million at the box office. Then the SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, made another $40 million. American Sniper and Jupiter Ascending were the top five. Paddington, Seventh Son, The Imitation Game, The Wedding Ringer, and Project Almanac were your top 10 movies at the box office. This is quite the lineup. It's coming together for the 2015 Rock in Rio Festival. What an interesting mix, eclectic mix of musicians. Katy Perry will be on the lineup along with Queens of the Stone Age, System of a Down, Faith No More. They're all headlining. Along with Slipknot, John Legend, and the reunion of A-ha.
What?
That's the lineup.
That's so weird.
Now it's Hollywood Vampires are going to perform. Alice Cooper, Aerosmith, Joe Perry, and Johnny Depp will be on stage performing.
Yeah, that's their new supergroup, right? Yeah. The Hollywood Vampires.
That's weird.
This is the Rock in Rio in Brazil, or the one that they're doing in Las Vegas?
No, this is Rock in Rio in Rio de Janeiro.
Right. Yeah. Kevin, you may have to go back, dude.
I may. I'd go back and not go to that show, maybe.
It's September 18th through the 20th, and then again the 24th through the 27th in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
Oh, they're doing it two weekends like Coachella.
They are.
Interesting.
Brazil. That's where Rio is.
It's a beautiful name. Beautiful song.
Thank you. Today's celebrity birthday.
My voice is going away.
Renee Russo, lovely and talented actress, is 61 years old today. She is just a sweet, sweet lady, too. She was in Two for the Money, that movie I did many years ago.
I don't remember that.
No. Well, it was a big, big hit. Everyone loved it. Lou Diamond Phillips is 53 years old today. Michael Jordan is 52. Director Michael Bay, Kevin's best friend, is 50 years old today. Denise Richards, Dr. Christmas Jones, she's 44. Taylor Hawkins, how much do we love Taylor?
He's the best.
He's 43 today, as is Billy Joe Armstrong. Comedian Ralphie May is also 43 today. Jason Ritter, very funny and talented actor, is 35 years old. DJ Paris Hilton is 34. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Jogolev, is 34 years
old. How great does the trailer look for his new movie?
What's the name of it? I don't know if I've seen it.
It's the one, it's the man on wire, the real guy who walked across the World Trade Center.
I don't think I've seen the trailer for that
yet. It's Robert Zemeckis. It looks incredible.
Cord Overstreet from Glee is 26 years old, and singer Ed Sheeran turns 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I spent $1.8 million of my hard-earned money buy this motherfucking car I had heard about called the Bugatti. I ain't put this in a video. I don't call myself Bugatti Wayne. I was the first African-American rapper with a Bugatti.
Yeah. $1.8 million to buy the Bugatti. By the way, that's the worst.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
There you go. There it is.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Those are the only lyrics I know to that song.
Right?
That's the voice of our friend Lightning, former producer of the Kevin and Bean Show, who is the first person we thought of when Ralph brought up a story involving the Bugatti last week, because we don't know anything about these $2 million cars. Now, Lightning, we wanted you in here because Ralph told us that it cost over $20,000 to get an oil change in a Bugatti.
Yeah.
And I instantly called BS on that, but then he proved it to me online, and I can't get my head around how that's possible.
It's insane, but it has a lot to do with the fact that there were so few of them made.
Right.
And so many parts on that car were purpose-built, meaning they're just like basically one-offs, and right. everything down to
but
the tires.
But when you change the oil...
It's specialty oil.
But $20,000?
I mean, the filters and the oil and the service, and it has to be done to precise calibration and everything else. And to I knew that I was going to have a hard time kind of rationalizing this.
$21,000 for this oil change, what does it cost the dealer? Maybe $200?
Is
it all marked up?
I think Bentley's – I mean Bugatti's setting the price. Hmm. I knew that I wouldn't be able to defend this
because
myself.
It's indefensible.
Exactly. So I have a friend of mine, Terrence Jenkins, from O'Gara Coach.
Okay.
And they have two locations, Beverly Hills and Westlake Village. And they specialize in Aston Martin, Bentley, Bugatti, Lamborghini, Maserati, Rolls Royce. These super high-end supercars and hypercars that are sometimes one-offs. Or they make just a couple of hundred. Right. And
What are you getting for getting Terrence on the air? Are you getting $50 off of Bugatti if you want to buy one?
I hope to get a ride in one of his cars on a track day.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yes.
Hey, Terrence.
I get a discount, guys, on a Bugatti.
Exactly.
100%. All right. Help us out here because you are dealing with the highest-end automobiles that are made and sold in America, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. The Bugatti, the oil change. What up? Yes.
$21,500 for your yearly service.
Okay, how is that possible?
Oh, wait, you say yearly service, so it's more than just the oil change? You get that done in addition to something else?
Yeah, no, it's much, much more. I mean, obviously, you have to remember this car is capable of doing 250-plus miles an hour. So, obviously, there's a liability involved. So,
right. It's
not just oil change. Obviously, the vehicle is going to be fully inspected to ensure that that car, should it ever reach 255 miles an hour, doesn't disintegrate.
Okay. That should be a given, though, shouldn't it? Shouldn't they test that before they sell it?
You know what's crazy? It's like you go to Costco and you buy a set of tires for your car, right?
Yeah.
These tires will only last. Terrence, how long is it going 255 miles an hour?
These tires will last you about 15 minutes.
I'm sorry, I thought you said 15 minutes. They make about a paper mache.
But here's the more important thing. The tires will last 15 minutes. A full tank of fuel will run out in 12 minutes.
All right, so think about how many times you have to stop if you want to take your Bugatti to Las Vegas.
Well, if you could actually travel that fast. But here's the thing. Bugatti recommends that you, after every four tire changes, you swap the wheels.
Okay.
And the wheels are $11,000 each.
Oh
all right, Terrence, let me back up a little bit. Let me just back up and ask a basic question. I thought super expensive cars were $150,000 to $250,000. I had no idea there was a $2 million car. It can't possibly be, but is this car, which costs $2 million, twice as good as a car that costs $1 million?
For bragging rights, I guess you could say it is. And you got to remember that a lot of these people that are purchasing these super expensive cars, they might be purchasing a $50 to $70 million boat as well. So while we're all looking at the price of cars going, oh my goodness, this is $1 million-plus car, this $50, $70, $100 million yacht that these individuals are purchasing as well.
I need to be rich.
How many, if you don't mind saying, maybe you can just estimate for us, how many of these Bugattis get sold every year in this country?
I mean, you're talking just a very, very small handful. And since 2005, I think Bugatti has sold a little bit more than maybe 400 Veyrons in total.
In the last 10 years?
Yes.
They've only sold 400 of these cars?
Correct. Yeah.
So that speaks to the point that I had earlier, which is there are so few of these parts available that,
correct,
you know, you're paying for custom CNC machining, you're paying for, I mean, all these very unique parts that they have to potentially replace.
All right, but if I were to get in this car though, Terrence, how great a ride is it? I mean, would I really just melt in luxury? It would feel so good, or would I go, "Yeah, this is a comfortable car."
you would go, yeah, this is a comfortable car, in all honesty. And I've had the fortune of driving the Ducati. We had one at our showroom that was a demo. And my boss, Tom O'Gara, said, Terrence, why don't you take the Ducati over to the Aston Martin Lamborghini showroom and park it in front? I didn't exactly go straight to him.
Sure.
I took a little bit of a drive.
Right.
And driving through traffic, it was just like a normal car. But then, of course, I hit the accelerator pedal. I'm like, holy crap, this is not a normal car, because yeah. I could have been in Orange County within a couple of minutes.
I want to see somebody that's driving a Bugatti get in a car chase. You know, it's usually a broken down truck or something
yes.
with one wheel that's gone.
You know what's funny is you go on YouTube and you see all these videos of guys in like their little, you know, race cars, their Honda Civics and everything else. They'll be on the freeway and Bugatti will pull up towards them and they're always egging on these older guys that own these cars and they just blow doors and just leave them in the dust. And it's always the same reaction from the guy holding the camera. What the F? They just cannot believe the acceleration from 100 to 200. It's not just 0 to 60 like a super fast Porsche would do or a motorcycle. It is the 100 plus that is this car can do that no other car can, I think.
Correct.
All right. Yeah. That's the voice
but
of Terrence.
At least the laws allow that.
Right. Terrence Jenkins is on the phone right now from Regara Coach right now, and that's our friend Lightning. We're talking about these crazy expensive cars. There's no place. Is there any place in America you can go to even drive one of these things at 200 miles an hour that's not a racetrack, though, Terrence? I mean, when would you ever get a chance to air this thing out?
I mean, very, very limited places where you could drive this car at full speed. You know, if you're in one of those categories of the one percenters, you've probably got access to a private runway. You know, Texas.
Private runway.
Did you say a private runway?
Well, you know, where you land your planes, Kevin. You can use that.
True.
There are clubs, Bean, that you can actually go and be a part of that will rent out a runway or a racetrack and things like that. There's a Ferrari FXX that when you buy it, Kevin, you don't get to keep the car. It is housed only at the racetracks. So you pay million. I don't know how much the car is. It's over $2 million for this car. And you go and you fly to the car. You drive it on a track day.
Well, I want to drive
and then
it home.
And then Ferrari keeps it. And
but
you go,
I paid for it.
It's crazy. That's the world that this – it's the next level that you and I will never play in.
That's insane.
It's crazy. All right, Terrence, before we say goodbye to you and thank you for coming on the program today, how about a discount for Kevin and Bean listeners if they want to come in today and buy a Bugatti? How much off will you give them?
15% today. Do you come in and buy the car?
15%. That's a lot of money. That wow. is a lot of money.
So it's like 30 grand, so you're still paying 1.9.
I'll take you out to our private racetrack because obviously we provide all these fantastic supercars. Agora Coach has their own private racetrack where you can take delivery of your car at the track and we'll teach you how to drive it as well. And I'll do that for you guys too.
Is this the most important, most expensive car?
It is not.
Not.
No.
What is the most important, expensive car? I'm sorry.
You're probably looking at, I believe, a Koenigsegg, a Jira 1-1, is going to be about $4.2 million. And they're slating that car to be a 280-mile-an-hour car.
Yeah, because why would you want the stupid Bugatti that only goes 255?
All these manufacturers are one-upping each other with their engineering prowess. And remember, these cars have to be engineered not only to be fast, but also safe. So this is one of the reasons why these vehicles are so expensive, because they are driven on the road. Unlike a race car, there's many race cars out there that can achieve these speeds, but they don't have to adhere to all the federal regulations and safety and all that.
Exactly.
Stinking airbags.
Which is why they deliver them on a truck or something like that to the racetrack. They don't drive them there. All right, listen, we are out of time. This is a fascinating topic. I know we've just scratched the surface of Terrence, but thanks so much for coming on and sharing your expertise. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it. Thank you so much, guys.
We got a Bugatti. About twice a year, I am stunned to realize that Bobby Slayton is still alive and still doing comedy. And he is once again in the Kevin and Bean studios right now. The Pitbull
Thank
Comedy
you.
Himself, ladies and gentlemen, playing Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. Four big shows this weekend. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. FlappersComedy.com. Tickets are just $20. Mr. Slayton, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. Not only still alive doing stand-up for 40 years, but 8 hours sober. So I'm celebrating.
8 hours.
Congratulations.
Totally sober. I come in here feeling great about myself. By the way, and I was driving here, and I was listening to you guys talking about SNL, the final thing.
Yeah.
What I have to say, which sums it all up, more cowbells, less Kanye.
Yeah.
I think that would have been great.
Yeah, great.
You know, I never thought anybody would make me appreciate the work of Miley Cyrus as much as that guy did.
As much as Kanye. We were all just talking about it off the air before you came in, that the Kanye performance was underwhelming for sure.
Yeah, I heard you talking about that. But the cowbell thing, if they would have built that up a little bit more.
Did you watch the whole SNL special?
I watched the entire thing.
Okay. What did you think of it?
I was, well, you know what? It had its moments, like everything you guys said. But what the most shocking thing was when Chris Rock did the great introduction, like you said, of Eddie Murphy, and the guy did nothing.
Eddie Murphy came out and said thank you.
Nothing. And,
that's,
you know,
it.
Exactly. Oh, it's like a high school reunion. Everybody said that, and everybody had something to say. You know, and if you don't like your Gumby character, come out, have somebody dress as Gumby and shoot the guy, do something.
Yeah, that was a waste.
So, what a waste. Yeah. What a waste. And Chris Rock gave him this great, great, great buildup, which, by the way, in the last issue of Rolling Stone, or two issues ago, with Chris on the cover, he said all these great things about me. He should have brought me out. I would have done something.
I mean, you would have at least done some comedy.
And I was in New York to go there, but when I got there, I realized I wasn't invited. I was in New York. I was in New York Saturday and Sunday. I was doing a corporate gig, and I go, I should go to this thing. They were going to call the show Everybody But Bobby, but they decided to call it SNL 40th Anniversary. Yeah, right. It was going to be Everybody But Bobby, because everybody that opened up for me, who's now got into greatness, not that I haven't. I mean, I'm at Flappers this weekend.
Sure.
Friday, Saturday.
Doesn't get much bigger than that.
Yeah. So I'm at Flappers. My wife said to me, she's coming to the show, which to me is like...
Wait, people, your wife's coming to your show?
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good at all.
Why is she doing that?
Well, because she wants to...
Doesn't she want to stay married to you?
Well, I but it's been 27 years, you know, and it's a long time. And here's what I was going to tell you, was that... So I'm in New York over the weekend. I go Saturday, I'm doing a gig. It's Valentine's Day.
Right.
And I don't usually work on Valentine's Day. People don't want my show on Valentine's
Day.
Well,
yeah, okay.
You know...
It's not exactly romantic.
It's not romantic. Well, that's why I don't want my wife coming to the show, because, you know, it's like when I was a younger comic and I would be talking about whatever I'm talking about, sex or whatever, and your parents are in the audience, it's kind of creepy. So when I'm talking about my wife and she's sitting there, and then I got to drive home with her, and it's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
It's not hard enough to do stand-up, like Steve Martin said on that show. You know, you stand out there, you're by yourself, either they laugh or they don't, and then your wife's out there listening to all these jokes about
her. You can't talk her out of that?
Well, no, because some of her friends bought tickets. I said, I would have got your friends in.
Right.
And she said, well, they already bought tickets, so I'm going to go with them. So great. So now my wife's friends have to sit with her.
Bad news for you, Bobby.
It's tough. You know, it's like when you do stand-up, I mean, I try to write new jokes all the time. I think every good comic.
Best ones are slamming your wife, though. So that's not going to go well.
Well, yeah, but you know why? Because guys like you can relate to that, because marriage is a brutal thing. But before I even put my foot deeper into my mouth.
Okay.
So Valentine's Day, my wife and we never really bought each other presents. It's a made-up holiday, like President's Day.
Thank you, Bobby. I'm right there with you, buddy.
But it's a fact. I mean, President's Day was basically, I saw this on the History Channel. It was basically invented on a Monday so that retailers could sell more stuff.
Love it.
It started off, you know, Washington's birthday, Lincoln's birthday. Right. They combined them on Monday.
Love it.
They sell more stuff.
They should do that more.
And how many people out there listening now gave one thought to Lincoln or one thought to Washington?
Bean.
Nobody.
Only Bean.
Besides Bean, I know. Well, he still has that sunken ship he's still singing about.
Yeah, he's wrecking the end of the world,
He's in a class by himself. But basically, people don't think about the president. You barbecue, you buy a mattress, curtains, whatever. So I'm in New York Saturday, and I am doing – well, let me back up for a second. I went to the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas in early January. And I do a corporate gig in Vegas, and I take my wife with me. She's not into electronics and TVs. I love that kind of stuff. So we're walking around. We're looking at TVs and new DVD players. And Skechers, a shoe store, has a booth. And what does a shoe store have a booth for? Anyway, I guess they came up with a shoe based on the game Simon. It's called – Game Kicks, where you press all the buttons, the red, yellow, green, blue buttons, and the game Simon – is built into the shoe. Well, my daughter loved this game when she was five.
Okay.
And it was the greatest game in the world because she loved it, I loved it, something you do with your kid,
right,
and annoyed the crap out of my wife. So something that can annoy your wife and you can play with
that
your
wins
children.
On every
win, 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 win situation. So I pick up the shoes and I go, I'd love a pair of these because it reminds me of my daughter. And my wife goes, you would never wear those. You're not gonna wear a pair of shoes with lights and colors and noises. I said, I would wear these in a second. So the guy from Skechers goes, we only make them for children. My wife, because you never wear them. Okay. Saturday, I'm in New York, and I'm checking out of my hotel. And my wife calls me up and goes, hey, did you get the present I sent you? I go, what present? Yeah, I didn't get anything. So I go to the front desk. I go, oh, yeah, we have a box for you. Well, thanks for telling me. I'm checking out. We were going to get it to
thanks
you.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, great, great hotel. So I check out. I get this box, and I don't even open it. I figure I'll open it up on the plane. My wife had a pair of the shoes made for me with the game in them, which they don't make for grown-ups.
That's pretty cool.
It's kind of, you can't really show it on the radio.
Awesome.
Yeah, wait, no, I'm saying if you have any kind of yellow, blue, green, red clothes, you know, I mean, they make bowling shoes look kind of...
You're not going to wear those.
Well, I'm wearing them now.
Yeah, but you're not going to wear them.
I want them to show you guys.
Oh, they light up. They sure light up.
So I start playing with them. On the plane. That's something you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
I take off the shoes. I'm putting them on. You know, when you have shoes that make noises and have little lights in them, kind of a Unabomber thing. So the co-pilot comes out of it. He starts to play with them. I thought it was pretty cool. I'll never wear them again.
Did he start to play with them just to check them out?
I gave them to him.
To make sure they were safe?
No, he just started playing with them.
All right.
Because, you know, for kids, you know, if iPads are too, you know, complicated for you,
right, you can play your shoes.
Yes,
Bobby,
great.
Your wife is so much nicer to you than you are to her.
I know.
No,
that's true.
She's
very thoughtful.
You need to wear those.
But you see, you're wrong, because when I got to the airport, I went to the gift shop. I got two of those neck pillows. You get two for like $25.
Right.
So I don't know what she's going to do with them, but there's not a lot of stuff you can buy at the airport, but candy and neck pillows.
Well, that's a beautiful Valentine's Day gift.
It's a thought that counts.
Exactly. Bobby Slayton is here, and he'll be at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. Four big shows this weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, flapperscomedy.com. Tickets are just $20. It's a bargain at half the price. More with Bobby right after this on K-Rock. If your alarm went off a few minutes ago and you're wondering, what is that delightful noise on Kevin and Bean this morning? It's the voice of Bobby Slayton, the pit bull of comedy, in studio with us. He's going to be in town this weekend in Burbank at the Flappers Comedy Club.
Oh, boy.
Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, flapperscomedy.com, just $20. Hey, Bobby, do you, I remember for a year or two you were living and working in Las Vegas at the Hooters. Do you ever miss that, not having to travel and being able to just be in one town?
You know, I was in Vegas last weekend. It's really become a horrible place. You know, it's funny you mentioned Burbank. Because I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Johnny Carson would always make jokes about downtown Burbank. I don't know when the last time anybody went there, because I've not been there in years. And I went there, and they got these great restaurants. They got a nice mall. And then you go to places like Vegas. You know, here's the amazing thing about L.A. L.A., every two blocks, and everybody knows this, I don't care what part of L.A. you live in, you got these great little mini malls. You got a sushi place, a yogurt place, one mini mall. You got a dry cleaner, a nail salon, a doggy boutique. And you go in there, you get something for your dog. You get a manicure, get your hair done. It's like so fun for the whole family.
Okay.
You go to Vegas and you leave that strip, which a lot of people don't know. Every mini mall has a gun shop, a wine shop, a bookstore, and a liquor store. So you go in there, you pawn your stuff.
Those are all four major food groups of life.
But you go in there, you pawn your stuff, you get a gun, you buy some booze, a dirty magazine, you go back to your car, you take care of business, you get drunk, and you shoot yourself in the head. It's like a one-stop suicide center. And then you know, I was just playing a place in Vegas, and people should do this when they go out there. If you don't care about all the nightclubs and the VIP crap, you know, the South Point is a great little casino where locals go.
I don't think I've ever been there.
Well, it's about a mile off the strip.
Okay.
And there's a great steakhouse, and everything's a little bit cheaper, and there's a beautiful wine list. And then you go to the strip, and you see that it's, you know, I've said this before, it's the fattest city in America. And you're on the strip. That's why it seems so crowded. Vegas isn't that crowded, but there's so many fat people, it appears to be twice as crowded as it actually is. And then you see all these homeless people dressed like superheroes begging for money. And I was in Vegas last week doing a show at South Point, and I go to the strip to meet a friend for dinner. And I'm not making this up, there are two mini mice. And they're fighting it out over whose corner so they can take pictures with the tourists, and Mickey Mouse comes along, I guess the pimp, and he starts beating up one Minnie Mouse. And the whole thing is a nightmare.
That sounds awesome.
It's not, and it's not fun for the whole family. It's just awful.
Do you gamble?
No, I'm not.
Well, how do you not gamble?
Because you know,
sports bet?
Because I've never won money gambling. It's, you
well,
know,
you got to have one big win.
You lose most of the time. Let's be honest.
You have one.
Yeah.
Here's what I do every time I'm in Vegas. I'll go to one slot machine before my show, and I'll put a $20 bill, you know, quarter machine, a dollar machine. I'll lose it. And I get so angry and so pissed off, it'll get me in the mood for the show. I have one vodka. People, how do you get in the mood for a show? I lose $20. I have a drink. I call my wife. She says something stupid. Ta-da! Showtime, ladies and gentlemen. It is showtime. It's so easy. And it's so great. You know, and then I spent, you know, Valentine's Day was coming up, so I'm walking around Vegas trying to find her a gift, and I go to the Forum shops in Caesar. We're having a big sale, and everything's marked down to, like, retail, and I can't find something for her. I mean, you've been married for a while, Kev, and you know what it's like trying to find a present for a woman, you know?
Yeah.
And why do you buy me something I wouldn't buy for myself? Well, if you wouldn't buy it for yourself, what do you want it for? Why would you buy something? I don't know what to get her.
I feel like that mall, though, doesn't really have any thing except for expensive stuff that's expensive,
really
expensive. Because
or souvenirs.
High
or souvenirs,
price stuff,
right.
Where very, very, very rich, you know, Middle Eastern women are shopping. You know, there's too many Arabs in Las Vegas. When you go to Macy's and the towel department as a fitting room. Then you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's not the kind of stuff you'll see at Flappers this weekend. I just made that up.
You're denying that, right?
I just made that up. I had to annoy somebody.
Can't believe you would say that.
I had to piss off one culture before.
I was noticing that you've been on for 20 minutes, and I don't think you've offended any group
No,
yet,
I so. Had to. I had to offend one group. And the Arab people, and by the way, they're good people. You can't judge a book by 800 million bad apples. But you know, that's why they never behead women over there, because, you know, if you cut the head off a chicken, the body will keep going. If you cut the head off a woman, the head will talk for up to an hour until CNN shows up. You know that? So they don't. Yeah, I'm not saying you should ever do that. I'm not saying violence against women is funny. I'm just saying if you're going to do that, the head can talk for up to an hour until CSI shows up.
It's an important tip.
Yes.
Those are some of the jokes you will or will not get, depending on whether the show is boycotted or not.
No, because my wife will be at the show. My wife.
Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. It's this weekend. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday. FlappersComedy.com. Have a great time in beautiful downtown Burbank. Bobby Slayton, thanks for stopping by today.
Next time I come by, we have a big TV announcement, my big book deal. Something big is going to happen when I come back in 6 months. I'm telling you.
Fantastic. Look forward to that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Do we have the creepy filter on?
I feel like we're going to need that today.
Not at all.
We need Team Creepy cranked up to 11. They need to be standing by a full guard, I think.
I am going to do a very respectful interview.
Creepy alert.
Very much looking forward to meeting Ms. Kendra Sunderland. She'll be joining us in studio coming up after the top of the hour. She is a former OSU student who is known as that girl from the library. So we'll find out what's up with her and how her life has changed since that famous viral video from a few weeks ago. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning.
Seriously, how are you going to protect her?
Creepy alert.
Hey, how about some tickets to a special K-Rock screening of a movie that I personally cannot wait to see. It's called Chappie.
Yay!
I am Chappie. Chappie is our last hope, people. It's a robot who can feel. It's like Bean.
The feeling, right.
Yeah.
I do feel like some of these movies about artificial intelligence, we're about to catch up to them in real life with what they're doing in science fiction. Seems like we're getting pretty close to these days where things like Chappie can really exist.
The movie takes place in the near future when there's a mechanized police force that becomes oppressive, and they take one of these police droids named Chappie, and they steal him and they give him new programming. So he is the first robot with the ability to think and feel for himself, and he becomes humanity's last and best hope. Hugh Jackman, Sigourney Weaver, Sharlto Copley, Dev Patel. Great cast. Brought to you by, of course, Neil Blomkamp, who did District 9 and Elysium. Great director.
This is good stuff.
Yeah. So if you'd like to see Chappie, we're having a special screening on Wednesday, March the 4th at the Arclight Hollywood. What a place to see a movie. One of my favorite theaters in the whole world. And if you don't win these tickets, don't worry, because Chappie's in theaters everywhere on Friday, March the 6th. But if you want to see it a couple days early, call me now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through. I'm sorry, first six callers who get through will get a pair of passes to go see Chappie.
I am Bean. I am a robot without human feelings.
My new movie coming out.
First of all, I'm not a robot.
I'm a unicorn.
That's right. You are a unicorn.
Little her!
Oh, she's back.
She's back, and she may be headed back to jail. According to In Touch magazine, the actress has a probation hearing set for tomorrow, and a judge will decide if she's completed enough of her community service to make up for her reckless driving charges or whether she has violated her probation and has to spend a little time behind bars. Now, Lindsay claims she did serve a lot of her community service by doing meet and greets with her fans after her show in London.
Wow.
Well, she waved at people on the street, Ralph. That's got to count.
I think she also gave a couple dollars to a homeless dude who was sleeping out by the tube station once.
So she did a meet and greet, and she literally sent her lawyer in there to go, this should count for public service?
Yes.
That's insane.
Because what more can you give back to humanity than a chance to meet Lindsay Lohan?
That's insane.
If you were going to meet and greet Lindsay Lohan, wouldn't you just slather yourself with Purell afterwards?
Yeah, I would.
I would be afraid of what I'd walk away from. She already got the chicken yunga.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I don't want chicken yunga.
I didn't know what it is, but I don't want it.
You trust me, you don't want the chicken yunga.
All right.
It's a new item on the Taco Bell menu.
Sounds like it. I'm sure Beer Mug's tried it.
Yeah. The new chicken yunga. Fire-grilled chicken, refried beans, and Spanish rice wrapped in a golden tortilla. The chicken yunga. Available now.
Like it.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Renee Russo, lovely and talented lady. She is 61 years old today. She's married to the super talented and super nice guy, Dan Gilroy, who was the writer-director of Nightcrawler just recently.
Oh,
the,
yeah. I love that movie.
Jake Gyllenhaal film. 61 years old today. Lou Diamond Phillips is 53. NBA legend Michael Jordan is 52 years old. Michael Bay, movie director-ish. He is 50 years old today. Denise Richards, actress.
Question mark?
Question mark. 44. Taylor Hawkins, we love Foo's drummer Taylor. He is 43. Billy Joe Armstrong, also 43. Ralphie May is also 43. Which one of these men will live the longest? Jason Ritter is 35. Paris Hilton's 34. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 34.
By the way, let me interrupt for 1 second. Paris Hilton's name has gone by every hour today, and I can't bring myself to give her a bell.
Yeah, you don't.
I'm fine with that.
I know that she is very pretty. I know that she is.
But then she talks.
But don't you hate her so much you can't acknowledge that she's pretty?
Yeah. I'm so fine with no bell.
You guys are cool with that. All right,
I think there are certain extenuating circumstances where someone can either be excluded or included with the bell.
Tyra Banks is one of them.
This is certainly an exclusion.
Yeah, no.
I think this meets all the requirements of the exclusionary clause.
Fantastic. I appreciate the support.
Of the bell rules.
But she does get...
of course she gets a rrr. Yeah. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, our good friend, is 34 years old today. Cord Overstreet. That's a guy's name. That's a name right there.
It's not a superhero?
Nope. He is just a guy on Glee. He is 26 years old, and singer Ed Sheeran turns 24. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Right? Who's with me?
I'm with you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Kendra Sunderland is our guest in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is a former OSU student who became famous all over the world. It seems like, what was it, Kendra? Two weeks ago? 3 weeks ago or something like that? When did your video make big national news?
To me, it feels like just yesterday.
Just
everything's been happening so fast. But yeah, I think it was about 2 weeks ago.
Kendra is in the library feeling frisky like she do. And the next thing you know, and this will happen, ladies, you know that this happens sometimes, is her top just kind of fell off. I mean, you can't stop it. I don't know if it was windy in the library or what the circumstances
were. I'm sure it was windy.
Her top fell off. And then the next thing you know, her pants fall off. And all of this is going on in the library. And some people took a dim view of using that building for higher education in this fashion. And Kendra is now a former OSU student, but is moving on to a very exciting and successful life in a different career. So, Kenya, take us back to that day in the library. That wasn't the first time you had done a webcam show online, right?
No, it wasn't. And it was actually a couple months ago before this happened that I went to the library. And then, you know, the video was kind of stuck around, but no one really knew who I was or, you know, my actual real name. And then I guess one day someone noticed me on Pornhub and decided to tell everyone. So then next thing I know, I'm getting like thousands of friend requests on Facebook and everyone's calling me the library girl. So, you know.
Now,
when
the whole thing blew up and it became much more popular than you expected it to be, were you horrified by that? Did it seem like, oh, my God, this is the end of the world, everything's crashing around me? Or were you like, oh, my God, this is exactly what I was hoping for, and this is now it's getting fun?
You know, a little bit of both. At first, I was like, oh, my God, what did I get myself into? And then, you know, you kind of just have to go with it. Like, I had to make the best of it and stay positive. So it's been really easy lately to be thankful for all these opportunities.
Are you still doing the webcamming?
Oh, yeah, actually.
Same company, different company?
No, my free cams was the one I was camming on, and they kicked me off because I broke too many of their rules.
They have rules?
Wow!
Yeah, they have a lot of rules. Actually,
wow!
What
are their rules?
I fell asleep on cam once. I was so tired. Like, I just passed out, you know, shirtless. But, you know, then people were just watching me sleep on there, and the next day they're like, you can't fall asleep on cam. Like, so I got in trouble for that.
But people were watching!
Yeah, I had like 900 people watching me sleep.
Why do they care what you're doing as long as it's not illegal?
I don't know.
That's hilarious.
They have standards.
Now, did they have some kind of rules against being in a public place also?
Yes, they very much.
And that's why they kicked you out.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's why they kicked me off. But I've had an amazing opportunity to get back into camming. I have a new website called playwithkendra.com. And I've been camming, you know, since Valentine's Day. I got to stay at the SLS Hotel in Beverly Hills. It was very, very nice. And I got to do a webcam show. And since then, I've been on maybe like 2 hours each night.
Nice.
How much are you making those 2 hours? Do you mind telling us?
A couple hundred. You know, it's hard to tell. It depends on, you know, how many people are there. The campsite just went up not that long ago.
I think
it was Valentine's Day, actually. And so it's hard to get people, you know, to follow me over there from my free cams. And I can't get back into my Twitter, so I have to get everyone to follow me to my new one. It's just, it's been hard. But
yeah, let me give out your new Twitter, because this is brand new. You got locked out of your old account because it was tied to your university email, right,
yeah.
Which you don't have access to anymore. So your new account is at the Kendra S, correct?
Yes.
At the Kendra S. Mm-hmm. Explain to me, Kevin, of course, already knows the answer to this, but I'm not as well-versed in how the cam world works. But how do you make money off of people watching you? Do they have to pay to access the video?
Well, you know, they have to, I think they have to be members to watch me. So you do have to pay for that. And then once you watch me, you can just tip me as many, I think it's tokens on my site. I don't know. It's new to me. But yeah, they just tip you tokens and you get money based off of that.
Just, now, are people tipping you based on what you're doing on camera, or is it just to show their appreciation and so that they hope that you will like them?
I think it's a little bit of both. They definitely tip me, you know, to tell me that they're huge fans or that they love me, and then they'll definitely tip me to try and tell me what to do. Yeah.
Did they tip you while you were sleeping?
Yeah, actually, they did.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I logged back on. People were tipping me while I was sleeping. I think it had something to do with the fact that I was topless, but it could have just been
sleeper.
You know?
Yeah. Somewhere out there, there's somebody who gets turned on by watching girls sleep who just couldn't believe how lucky he was to walk in at that moment.
That's true.
Take me back, if you would, and this is the voice of Kendra Sunderland, known as the girl from the library from OSU from a couple of weeks ago. Take me back, if you would, Kendra, to before the library, though. The first time you decided to do a webcam show, what was your life like? What were you doing then? And then why did you make the decision to go nude on camera?
Well, I had put in so many applications trying to find jobs, you know, real jobs, as people would call them. And I was just so tired of not getting calls back. I was kind of like, you know, is there something wrong with me? Why wouldn't they want to hire me? And
why wouldn't they want to hire you?
Yeah. Who knows?
Can you do traffic? We will hire you right now.
Oh, probably. Honestly, I'd rather cam. Honestly, no offense.
Traffic and cam. Have a camera there.
True.
All right. So you were having trouble finding work, and you're a college student, mm-hmm. and you need to make a little bit of money.
Yeah,
so, where did the idea come from? Hey, porn.
You know, I was just so tired of being broke, and one of my friends suggested that, you know, you can make a lot of money, like easy money, doing this. And I've always been someone, you know, comfortable with their sexuality. I never mind, you know, showing off. And so I just decided to sign up for it one night. And my first night, I was only on there for like an hour. I made $150.
Yeah. $150 an hour.
Yeah. And so I called my friend. I was like, is this for real? Like, are they really going to put this in my bank account? Like, is this a joke? And he's like, no, this is for real. And so I decided from then on, you know, this is what I want to do.
Was it awkward for you? Was it difficult? Were you nervous the first time
you
took off your clothes?
Did you know what to do?
No, I had no idea what to do the first time. Like, there's people in there trying to help me, and, you know, I was just kind of sitting there.
There are guys in there trying to help you?
Yeah. It's all
Kendra, shake them for freedom.
Really, though, like, I was doing stuff for free, and then they're like, you know, you can get people to tip you for this. And I was like, oh, well, that's how you make your money, you know? And so, yeah, at first it was kind of awkward, but now I kind of feel like I'm a pro at it. It's come super easy to me.
So, this is the greatest country in the world. All right, we have to take a quick break. Kendra, please stick around, because we have so many more questions for you, including, and I know this is the question that most people listening right now are going to want to hear the answer of, is how did that conversation with your parents go?
Oh, goodness.
Once the news got a hold of you? We'll talk more with our guest, Kendra Sunderland, on Twitter at TheKendraS. And is it KendraSunderland.net? Is that right?
Yes.
That's the website. More with Kendra right after this on camera. In studio with our new friend and hopefully permanent member of the Kevin and Bean Show, Kendra Sunderland. She is the former OSU student who is known as that girl from the library as a result of the webcam that was shot there. So, Kendra, when we dropped off and we had to stop, I was asking you about your parents. So the story breaks everywhere, and it becomes a TMZ, and it's all over the news and everything like that. Is that how your parents find out about it, or do you tell them about it before they see it online?
Sadly, they had to find out that way. I was too scared to tell them anything. So, you know, I just randomly get a text from my mom. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. And so, yeah, she texted me first. And,
by that point, had you dropped out yet?
I dropped out way before this came out. Yeah. Like 4 weeks into my first or second year.
So when the word came out that you weren't welcome on campus anymore at OSU, you didn't care at that point because you were already done with that place.
When the second semester started, and I dropped out 4 weeks into the first semester.
Interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So your mom says, are you okay, which is great. And then she says, what are you doing taking off your top in front of strangers on the internet? What did you say to her, and did she accept that?
You know, she's kind of just like, what were you thinking? Like, why? Why did you do that? And I kind of just explained to her, you know, I wasn't thinking really. It was kind of just a spur-of-the-moment thing.
Did you say $150 an hour, Mom?
Yeah. I was like, no, you know, I was there for 2 hours, made like $600-$700. That's what I was thinking. No.
And have they, now that they're kind of, how about your dad? Same reaction?
Yeah, he scared me a little bit more. He left me a message on my phone, you know, it's your dad. Call me back. Love you.
Yeah. Well, because no dad ever wants their teenage daughter to be seen naked by anyone, much less by everyone.
Yeah, and like I had already told them I was camming before that, so you know they kind of had a chance to get used to it, maybe. And then once this all happened, you know, I feel like maybe it shocked them a little bit more. But they've
been warmed up to it now? They're supportive now, would you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's been tough, you know, dealing with, you know, thinking that my parents are ashamed of me, you know, just for being who I am. And
nobody wants that.
Yeah, nobody wants that. Like, yeah. You know, nobody wants to see their daughter on TV, you know, like that. And my poor grandparents were watching the news. And, you know.
Oh, no, your grandparents.
No, it's even worse because they thought I was still going to school and they thought I was looking for a job. And then they're watching the news and it says, you know, your granddaughter's been kicked out of school for filming porn in the library. And she was arrested. You know, like all that stuff they were saying. My poor grandparents, they don't know any better. And so that was even worse, calling my grandmas and them crying on the phone. I'm like,
that is tough. How about friends? Have they broken into two camps, those that are with you and those that are against you?
Yeah, sadly it has. I've, you know, I only have like two or three friends really that are close to me, and a couple of them are really supportive and they're still there for me. And actually, my roommate, I just lost her, you know, she doesn't want to be my friend anymore. So that's,
oh, really?
That's been really tough to deal with. Another reason why I'm moving out here. Just, you know, it's,
do you know
it's
anyone
sad.
In the Los Angeles area?
Nope. You guys.
Wow. Okay, Kevin, you got a guest house, Kevin? Is that where this is headed?
I don't know if you had a friend that was out here or anything else, or are you just coming
no,
in?
No, my sister's in San Diego, so not that far away, but I feel like it'd be better for my career to live here.
Yeah, a lot of opportunities for you, for sure. I mean, you're going to have a lot of decisions to make, just like somebody who, you know, wins the Heisman Trophy. It's like everybody wants a piece of that. Everybody wants them to do something, and they have a decision what's best for me in my long-term career. I mean, you could totally do this by yourself like you're doing with the association with the webcam company that you're with. Or I imagine you're going to get calls from Vivid and Hustler and people like that who are going to want to figure out a way to be in business with you as well. You got a lot to think about.
Yeah, already calls from Hustler and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
Tomorrow I have an interview and a photo shoot with Penthouse.
So no kidding.
Yeah, I've been more than blessed to just have all these.
Oh, you've been more than blessed, all right, Ken. I've seen you online. Hey, you mentioned the arrest. What's the status of that? Is it a fine thing or a jail thing or a what?
Yeah, I wouldn't consider it like I got arrested. Like, they didn't handcuff me or anything, but that's like the terminology. You know, they arrested me and released me. He just talked to me in front of my house and gave me a citation for public indecency. You know, I never thought that you could get in trouble for something like that just over a video, like months later.
But so basically it's just a fine is all. You're not going to have anything else.
Well, it's public indecency in Oregon is it's not a fun charge. You get up to a year in jail and $6,250 in fine. But you know, I'm fingers crossed they don't send me to jail. I don't think I could survive there.
But you would be so popular. I'm not an attorney, but I will do everything I can to keep you out of jail, Kendra. We will not allow this. Not on our watch. Am I right, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Exactly. All right. Well,
USA!
People are chanting. I know they are. Sorry, people. I'm very sad that we're out of time because this is a fascinating story, and there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, Kendra.
Thank
and
you.
It makes you happy, and it's legal, and I wish you nothing but success, and I hope that you'll keep in touch since you're going to be in town, and we'll see you again. Give out your information again where people can find you online and follow you.
Okay. My Twitter is TheKendraS, also on Facebook.com/TheKendraS. You can find me camming on playwithkendra.com. I also have another website called DateBrokeCollegeGirls.com. It's a sugar dating website. You know, if you ever want to be my sugar daddy, you know, take me on a date, you can find me on there.
That's very generous of you to offer that.
Yeah, you know, if anyone wants to spoil me, go right ahead.
Feel free. Yeah, this was your first ever radio interview. How was it for you?
I loved it. You guys are so much fun. This has been an amazing experience. Thank you so much.
Well, it's great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
That was my male stripper name.
What?
Mardi Gras. Yeah, when I used to work as a male stripper, I was known as Mardi Gras.
I didn't realize
that. Welcome to the stage, Mardi Gras. And I got bam, bam. I come out there with beads wrapped around my...
You should have webcam. That's where the money is.
Sure,
webcam.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a lot of dough.
I'm going to talk to Kendra and see how I start my own cottage industry there.
Hey, you guys, there was not one but two nights of The Bachelor on ABC over the holiday weekend. Does that mean 2 hours Sunday night and two hours Monday night?
Oh, yeah, Daddy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
Four hours of that.
Sweet Bachelor.
And that means Petros Papadakis joins us. It's time for The Bachelor Report.
It's time. We got the Big P and Gar, man. So you don't have to, man. Girls drinking, hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crying, hallelujah.
Woo!
Girls crazy, hallelujah.
Woo!
The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report, we're gonna give it to ya. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Are we, get on the good foot.
Are we married? Are we married to that intro?
Yeah,
we
are.
I love that intro. Right. Okay. I love that intro, and I love this man on the phone as well, our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show, weekday afternoons on AM 570, and Ralph's partner in The Bachelor Report. Hey, P, how was your weekend, man?
It was pretty good, guys, and I got to tell you, I sing that song to myself all day.
All right.
I've never heard the real one, but I totally bang the Omar one. It's awesome.
That is the real one right there,
that's
my friend.
That's right, man.
Yeah.
All right, where are we starting with the recap here, Ralph?
Well, Petros, I think you have to admit, big shakeups over the weekend over there at Prince Farming.
I gotta say, Ralph, this Bachelor, although he is not strong in the mind.
No, he's not.
In the mind, he has a great weakness. What he lacks in brains, the show makes up for in sheer entertainment. And
yes.
I don't know, it's because they're saving money this year. They're not going anywhere. I mean, they've literally been to New Mexico, Deadwood, South Dakota, and Des Moines.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucks.
Past seasons travel around the world?
They used to go to Bora Bora and Tahiti and the Arctic Circle, and now it's Iowa. Now we've ended up in Iowa. Now he's going on the hometown dates, and we're going to, like, Nebraska and Chicago and New Orleans, and he's never broke out his passport, not once.
I gotta say, Ralph, it's a great thing, but it's also a very disheartening thing every season when the last interesting person who causes trouble gets kicked off.
Did that happen?
It's a great feeling, but then there's an emptiness like the day after Christmas.
Well, you know, my favorite for the entire run has been the front runner, Britt, who finally had a meltdown over the weekend. She showed her true colors. And you're right, he is not strong in the mind, this Prince Farming, Chris Soules. But he does seem to have a moral standard of which he is not willing to compromise.
Yeah, he's used to cutting that corn right at the cob.
That's right. He's killed pigs and eaten them right in front of his family. And so Britt was mouthing off a little bit because he gave a rose to some other girl on a group date. And she's like, if I'm going to be the wife, you can't pick me. You can't pick me second or third or fourth. I need to know I'm number one. And he didn't cotton to that at all.
Mm.
And so he cuts her loose, and she loses her mind.
That's Brett crying.
Yeah, I hear him crying.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not laughing?
No, she's crying.
I don't feel bad for Brett at all.
It's fun to watch her squirm. I've squirmed so much.
Now the girl who's prettiest girl in the room, who's gotten everything she wants, now knows what it's like to be a normal person.
Boom.
Yeah. At least the girls were supportive.
coming at her, man.
Here's the thing, too. When she was crying, when he said you should go, she did what I've seen at a million sorority girl parties, which is she cries right outside the front door so he can hear her.
Loud
and then she sits on the curb in front of the front door. Very loudly hoping, well, he's just going to come out and console me, and then he'll
change his mind.
I'm so beautiful, he'll give me a second chance.
That wasn't the crying of a person who is secretly and very internally sad. There was the wailing lamentations of, like, the women when Kim Jong-il died.
Yes. And then we got on the hometown dates, and we got to see where Becca the Virgin lives. And she's so boring, I forgot where she lives. But it was... She hasn't told him he's a virgin. She's a virgin yet.
Well, that seems like an important part.
But she has mentioned that she's never had a significant relationship with another man, and she's never had a physical attraction to men.
I think he just thinks she's a whore that has a bunch of one night stands.
Maybe he's misinterpreting it completely.
The sister pulled him aside. The sister, who's like this angry, like, beefier version of Becca, pulled him aside and was like, you know, she's not an intimate person and she doesn't like public affection, and he's too stupid to pick up any kind of hint, so he just sits there with crickets in his head.
What, he didn't understand that?
She's like, she doesn't like to touch men. He's like, okay, well, that's all right.
What?
Yeah, he doesn't get it.
It's kind of a bad scene, and I think she's a good fit for him, but I don't think she's going to get picked because she just doesn't have the juice to win the competition.
Then we saw where Whitney works. She works at a fertility clinic.
Okay.
And she gave him a tour of her job, including the room where you make the baby batter.
Ah!
Whitney takes me into the room where the magic happens, and there's Playboys everywhere, you know. There's the TV where they play, you know, movies. She hands me a cup for a sperm specimen. I'm like, wait a minute. Is Whitney trying to get me to give her a specimen so she can test my sperm?
Yeah.
He is not smart.
Do you think they have BBW films in the room?
I think they probably have whatever he asked for.
A great variety of flavors, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I specifically would want
BBW. Oh, you're asking for yourself. I see. I got you, Pete.
I'm just saying, yeah.
Then we go to Phoenix, Arizona, Kevin. Your hometown. Where Caitlin engages our boy Chris in a little rap battle. They record a rap song together.
No, you're not going to play this.
Oh, yeah, I'm playing it, Pete. I'm playing the rap.
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves were such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress. I dropped that bomb and I love making you laugh. I've been working so hard, yeah, time and a half.
Flying down low rapids, my heart is beating fast. I hope I don't fall out so I can make love last.
That did not happen.
That happened.
Come on.
That happened.
It happens every year. Somebody raps some stupid rap.
Now, let me ask you guys this. As longtime Bachelor and Bachelorette fans, do you look forward to rap night or do you dread it?
Well, I was doing that Dez rap forever. Remember that
yes.
one?
Yes. The right reasons.
The right reasons. The right reasons.
I'll be loving you through all the four seasons.
Yeah.
I love the rap. That's awesome.
Me too. And I love, too, where Jane, in her hometown visit, had to break the news to Chris that she had done some nude modeling for Playboy. Good morning. Hi. How are you?
All right.
When I first moved to L.A., I was approached to pose for Playboy, and I did. And I feel like I needed to share that with you and be honest about it.
Then she breaks out the picture. She brings out the laptop. Here I am, naked. Here I am, the video for Playboy.
There's the spread eagle shot.
Yes.
By the way,
Google Jade Bachelor Playboy.
Yeah. Ralph, I mean, come on. You saw the pictures before the season even started.
I'm just saying, they're good pictures.
Oh, no, she's a good-looking girl.
Yeah.
The best was she had just this full-on hick family, a couple of brothers in Nebraska with Bama bangs just looking like idiots. And one of them was like, well, she's a wild Mustang, I'll tell you.
She's a free spirit. She do what she like. So it comes down to the choice between the virgin or the Playboy model.
Well, that's an easy choice, right?
It should be for everyone else. He boots Jade, the Playboy model. He sends her home.
He keeps the virgin. And
he
like
keeps the virgin. So it's down. We're down to the final three now. Whitney, Caitlin, and Becca. One of them will be his bride.
Is this?
That
won't be his bride.
Ish.
Is this going to be the final weekend, or do we have a whole other?
I think we have a couple weekends left.
All right.
No, they stretch it out. I think we're going to be done around June. We haven't even done the episodes from Sunday night. Am I coming back in the next segment? Or...
Yeah, we'll call you.
We didn't really have time to cover both, so we just kind of did last night's P.
But there was an hour where Chris Harrison interviewed the widow, and he interviewed Andy, who's broken up with Josh, and he described the interview in his blog, Chris Harrison, as a brutal interview. Brutal.
Don't come at my man Chris on these airwaves, okay?
P's not a big fan. Ralph's a big fan.
And his little baby hands.
He doesn't have baby hands. We still need the women tell all. We need them. The Chris confronts his accusers. There's a lot of special episodes before we get to the final.
I just need more of my husband died. I need that girl. I need
more. See, that's the thing, though.
What a great story.
That's the thing about The Bachelor. The drama actually dissipates as the show goes on because there's less women and it's more one-on-one time and a lot of smooching and underwater cameras shooting up people's crotches when they're in some bay in Borneo. You know, that's what happens in the last few. And they are leaving the country, sadly, now. I thought they were going to go to Laughlin, but they're going to – where are they going? Bally,
I believe.
Oh,
yes.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, it sounds like The Bachelor is still giving you guys pretty much everything you hope for. Petras and Money airs weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on Fox Sports Radio, AM 570. Look for the P on Fox Sports 1 as well. Thanks for the time, Petras. We love it.
Dave, the King of Mexico, has to open the door for Harrison because little hands can't.
No,
can't
stop picking on Chris.
The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Adam Carolla, right after the top of the hour. Then we'll talk about the SNL 40th anniversary special. That's all coming up. First, though, Ralph's here with the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
It is Tuesday, but we're going to treat it like a Monday. We're going to take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the three-day weekend. 50 Shades of Grey did okay if you like almost $100 million in box office.
Wow.
Around $95 million was its debut weekend.
Is there any precedent for a movie that's not a franchise, that's not a superhero, that doesn't have big stars, it's not an action picture, to have that kind of box office?
I don't know.
Very few that I can think of that ever, you know, have no stars that make that kind of money. It's insane.
Kingsman: The Secret Service debuted with $42 million. That was good enough to make it number two. It would have been number one on most weekends. The SpongeBob movie continues to be a juggernaut as well. Sponge Out of Water made $40 million. American Sniper was fourth. Jupiter Ascending was fifth. Then Paddington, The Seventh Son, in its debut, made just $4.8 million. The Imitation Game was eighth, then Wedding Ringer and Project Almanac were your top five movies at the box office. Top 10 movies at the box office. Lady Gaga getting married.
Huh?
She revealed a big, fat diamond in the shape of a heart on Instagram yesterday with the caption, "He gave me his heart on Valentine's Day, and I said yes." This is,
do we know who it is?
Yeah, the he in question is her longtime boyfriend, Taylor Kinney, okay, of Chicago Fire. He's an actor. And they are apparently getting married.
You know, a lot of women have trouble picking a wedding dress. If you're Lady Gaga, how tough is that decision as to what to wear?
Easy. You can make it out of wedding cake. Wear a cake, cake dress. And then everyone comes up and eats it.
I like it.
Eats it off you.
I like it.
It's like a bite of my dress. Everyone, come on up. Get a slice of dress.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't either. Amber Rose, yeah! It is on!
It's on.
Amber Rose starting a feud with Khloe Kardashian. I could get the sense Amber Rose would just F her up. Even though she's 6'9" and 300 pounds, I think Amber Rose would just F her up. Khloe seems soft to me.
Yeah. I agree, by the way. Amber does seem tougher.
They are going back and forth, mostly because Amber's been making comments about rapper Tyga, who has left his woman and their child, this is Blac Chyna, to have a relationship with 17-year-old Kylie Jenner. Khloe Kardashian came to her sister's defense by calling out Amber Rose's admission that she was a 15-year-old stripper. "Don't worry about my sister who has a career and her S together at only 17. People live in glass houses, shouldn't throw stones. Please stop talking about us in interviews. None of us talk about you." Well, that was all Amber Rose needed, and she's just come back with a slew of amazing tweets. Please, please go and find them. They're just awesome. She's got memes out there with Kanye West talking about when your sister-in-law calls out to your ex for being a stripper, but your wife has a sex tape. She also talks about the fact that she said, "I will be a whore for my family like your older sister was a whore for your family." Which I just thought was delicious. And then finally to Khloe Kardashian, the tweet, "You think because your dad was a professional football player that got away with murder, you're better than me, girl?" Saying oh, that, nice. That Chloe's real dad is O.J. Simpson.
Whoa. So. That's funny.
It's awesome. It's just awesome.
I love it.
So Amber Rose, follow her at the Real Amber Rose, I believe is her Twitter handle, and just watch the fireworks. It's
maybe
very
entertaining. Maybe the Kardashians shouldn't smack talk.
No, they're just... They're,
really?
Especially with a girl from South Philly who probably still carries a blade. But not in her hair, because she ain't got none.
How would you... How would you settle this if you could? Would you put him on Dr. Phil, or what would you? What would you do? Like, how? What's the best?
I want it to keep playing out where it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't just like it online at all. I want this.
You don't want him in the
forever.
Same room together?
Not yet.
No,
that's maybe the climax. Put him on Springer, man.
No, I want to. I want to watch the Twitter flames go back and forth, and then I want some real flames. I'm going to hand Amber Rose a gallon of gasoline and a little Bic lighter, and then just say, "Here's the address." Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Renee Russo is 61 years old today. Actor Lou Diamond Phillips is 53. Michael Jordan, pitch man for underwear?
Sure. That guy who had a sneaker line or something once, didn't he?
No, he worked with Bugs Bunny. They did that movie together.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's the guy.
52 years old. Michael Bay is 50. Denise Richards is 44. Taylor Hawkins, Billy Joe Armstrong, and Ralphie May, the comedian, all celebrate their 43rd birthdays. Jason Ritter's 35. DJ Paris Hilton is 34. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's 34 as well. Court Overstreet of Glee fame is 26, and Ed Sheeran is 24 years old.
You know
today.
Who you're forgetting, Ralph, consistently all day.
What?
It's Luke Robitaille.
Well, look, I have a
Robitaille.
List. Well, why don't you tell me, and I'll
Hall
put it on my list.
Hall of Famer in the NHL Hall of Fame with the Kings. Luke
Wait, Robitaille. He's a Hall of Famer who's in the NHL Hall of Fame?
Both.
He's got both of those things going for him?
Both of them.
Well, if you
Who
tell
you get the
me,
list from?
Before now, I would have absolutely announced
Who do you get the list
birthday.
From, Dave?
I get it from Dave the King of
he
Mexico.
He needs to stop doing
well,
this.
Well, he rolled in around 8 o'clock this morning. Give him a break. He's still trying to put his day together, I think. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The trailer is out for our friend Adam Carolla's movie called Road Hard. Kevin, have you seen it yet?
I have not, no.
Oh, well, thanks for your support. The film is going to be in select theaters and on demand starting on Friday, March the 6th, and showing in theaters all across this great country of ours. Adam, it's a very funny trailer, sir.
Thank you for watching, Mr. Bean.
Adam Bean says it's a very funny trailer.
You play a stand-up comedian in the movie, but you never technically did stand-up. I mean, I guess you could argue that that's one form of what you do when you do these live theater shows and everything like that, but you never worked as a stand-up, right?
Au contraire. I had no job in 2009 and 2010, and I hit the road. And that time you and I met in Seattle at that breakfast joint with the super high backs on the diner banquettes, I was doing 3 shows in Kirkland, Washington that night, remember?
Yeah, I do, but I thought this was just your podcast thing where you come out and you have guests and whatnot. And
no, I was forced to tour the country doing stand-up for a year to
wow.
survive, and that's basically what the movie's based on.
Do you think you're good at stand-up?
I'm good at any form of comedy I set my mind to without sounding like a pompous ass.
Oh, no, that didn't sound pompous.
No, I just mean, to me, I've, again, more pompous assery going on, but comedy is just like saying, you know, are you athletic? And if you're athletic, you can just focus on a sport, and you'll probably be pretty good at that sport if you're athletic.
Right.
I'm sort of comedically athletic, so if I write a book, it'll usually be pretty funny, and if I set my mind on doing stand-up, it'll be pretty good. It's just... I never set my mind on it before.
Well, the movie looks great. Jay Moore is in it, Howie Mandel, David Koechner, Larry Miller, David Alan Greer, Phil Rosenthal. I mean, it's got a great cast. Again, it's called Road Hard in select theaters and on demand starting on Friday, March 6th. The Ace Man joins us every week at this time for a feature we like to call The Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
It'll be ironic when this is super unfunny. Number 3, you know what I'm doing later on today? I'm going to sit down with a film crew to work on a little induction thing because they're doing a video for you guys being brought into the Broadcasting Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
That's later on today. Now, listen.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. I get calls all the time. Hey, listen, Rolling Stone is interested in talking to you. Really? About Jimmy.
I want to know what the old Jimmy was like. And then the phone rings again. Guess what? The Wall Street Journal wants to talk. Really? About Dr. Drew. I'm used to that. But now Kevin and Bean, I officially bottomed out, people.
That does hurt.
That's a pretty rough life.
It's rough. I spend half my day talking about people I used to know.
Yeah.
It's awesome. One chick literally and actually said to me, Dr. Drew has three shows on the air. You have none. How's that make you feel? That was part of a hard-hitting interview. All right, number two, Valentine's Day.
Yes.
Oh, crept up on my son the other day. He's sitting at the kitchen counters making out Valentine's Day cards. I said, who's that for? He said, for everybody. I said, how many people you have in your class? Oh, 30. I said, you're making 30 cards. Yeah, I said, but not for the dudes, right? Oh, yes. Everybody in the class and the dudes all get Valentine's Day cards. He comes home with 30 of them. They all go in the garbage. And then at the end of the day, I said, you know, when you give it to everybody, it means nothing. So I want to know who it meant something from. So my son was watching his 75-inch television, staring at his tablet. He has a tablet on his lap and a 70-inch television in front of his nose. And I said to him, Sonny, who was your favorite Valentine's Day? You got 30 cards today, but who's the one that really meant something to you? And he thought about it, and he said, I guess it'd be Matthew.
Well, this is the 21st century now, Adam. Boys are allowed to love boys. Girls are allowed to love girls. It's all love.
I got my fingers crossed he's going to be a top. I've already made my peace with the gay part. As a proud father, I'm just praying for top at this point.
All right.
That's where the bar set. The bar set at top. All right. And number one, oh, boy, I had a revelation, man. I mean, I really had a breakthrough yesterday. I realized, you know, you guys know you're married. I got to shut the door. Wife's home. You guys know you spend so much time just saying things like, sweetie, if you just put the keys by the front door, you'd always know where they were. You wouldn't have to look for them, you know. Oh, where's my cell phone? Where's the keys? The thing where you do. Do we have to have the conversation again about shutting the space heater in the kids' room when the kids aren't home? I came home the other day, the space heater was on. How many times do we have to have this conversation? Sweetie, we only have so much time on this planet. You're using it up looking for your keys and having me having arguments with you about the exact same topic over and over again. And then I realize they don't give a crap. And you know why they don't give a crap? They live 7 years longer than we do.
Yeah, well.
They can burn it up having these stupid, retarded arguments that go in a circle because they live 7 years longer. If I knew I had an extra 7 years to live right now, I'd just go take my car keys and chuck them into the ivy right now. And while I was looking for them, I'd be laughing. This is not going to take 7 years. I'll burn 20 minutes.
I still have a lot of time left.
I got 7 years to play with here. You can talk about leaving the light on in the closet when I'm not home or space heater on when the kids aren't home for at least 7 years.
That's right. I like that. See, bonus time. It's awesome.
That's right. They're on bonus time.
All right. Adam Carolla is very funny. If you don't believe it, just ask him. The film is called Road Hard. It's in select theaters and on demand Friday, March 6th. Also showing in Southern California theaters. AdamCarolla.com for all the details. Thanks, Ace Man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:39.
It's funny because normally Geronimo will... He was an American Indian, right?
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, and we got it.
We'll take it.
No. Normally related to when somebody is either jumping out of a plane, right. They yell Geronimo, or like right. In your song, Bombs Away,
we heard the
they
song.
Yell Geronimo. Right. Why do they yell Geronimo? I think it was in the movie.
Okay.
What movie Naked was it? Gun.
You're asking or you're telling us why they.
Oh, no. Maybe it was Hot Shots Part 2. It was Hot Shots Part 2. Mm-hmm. Where they're all jumping out of the plane.
Right.
And all the guys, like, they're in the Air Force and they're jumping out. And then this American Indian jumps out of the plane. They're all yelling Geronimo, and this American Indian jumps out. And he's like, myself!
Stupid. That was a stupid aside. I'm sorry.
It actually was a big, fat waste of everyone's time, so thank you for that, Muggs. Hey, 9:40. It's Tuesday morning. Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Look, here's the thing. When I stay out of this studio for a reason.
Right.
So I don't have to get the...
So you don't get the stink of us on you?
No, so I don't have to get the fallout, the nuclear fallout of thanks for that info, Bean. If I'm not here, he can't do it to me what he does to you guys.
Wait, what did I say? I didn't say anything.
So I figure if I stay out of here, I'm protected. I'm sort of like in a safe bunker in the other room, so I don't have to get the fallout of the blast.
This is how little I pay attention now, because it happens so much. Did he just nail you when you walked in?
No. Now he's sending me emails.
Yes.
With thanks for that info being in it.
Yes.
So I'm not safe. Now the radiation is coming under the blast door.
Wait a second. It's leaking under it.
Now I can feel the lesions, and my teeth are falling out, and there's radiation poisoning
now. I had a guy tweet me to say, thanks for the info being is my favorite thing. I can listen to that all day. And I wrote back, because you don't have to listen to that all day.
Exactly.
It would take your life.
I sent you something that I thought would be relevant to your interests.
Bean sent me the obituary of the guy who invented Tic Tacs. Are you effing kidding me?
You are a terrorist.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Bean is a terrorist. You're absolutely right. He's nailed it.
He's a trivia terrorist.
He is a terrorist. He is.
What's happening?
We should not negotiate with him.
By the way, not just Tic Tacs, though, but Nutella also.
Well, that's the thing. He didn't even invent that. His father did.
Yeah, but still, he's the head of the Nutella empire, and now he's gone, Ralph. What are you going to do?
There's no Nutella empire.
I thought that you would find that interesting because it's...
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You know of my love of hazelnuts?
Why would you think you would be interested in that?
Because it's the world of show business and the world of business.
Holy what?
You just don't understand Japanese business.
It's show business?
Yes.
Because I used to love the old Nutella Adventure Hour when it was on television. When they used to sponsor my favorite variety show.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
A swing and a miss?
Can I give you what he said today that I wrote down? I'm just going to burn it.
Just burn it.
Because there's plenty for the next one.
Go ahead.
Brazil's out of water. Interesting. We weren't talking about Brazil. We were talking about water.
I could go for a glass of water. Nothing.
Interesting.
You are a terrorist. Nothing has ever been truer.
He's a conversational terrorist.
He is. He's the anthrax of conversation. Now it's starting to come in envelopes sent to me in the office.
Well, I apologize that if I missed the mark on that. I thought the Tic Tac guy would make your note.
Sure. Everybody wants to know about the Tic Tac guy.
I'm going to call BS. I'm going to say you didn't think that.
I really did. By the way.
That was a dirty bomb. You knew it was going to cause the damage it caused.
I think he's the richest man in Italy. He was worth $23 billion, this guy.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Will you look at him? Keep going. Will you just look at him?
All right, I'll take the hint.
Let me shovel some more radioactive material on you.
It's not a hint. It's us saying shut the F up.
Loudly, repeatedly.
It's not like a vague hint that you're supposed to pick up on.
I'm not quite getting what you're getting at.
If I'm reading between the lines, you're asking for less of the Tic Tac obituary guy.
Take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the 3-day weekend, shall we? 50 Shades of Grey did very well for itself. There are a lot of lonely women out there. So much so that it didn't raise anything, it wasn't a fundraiser. It made $95 million at the box office.
Wow.
That's just domestic, by the way. Internationally, I think worldwide, all the grand total is up to about $235 million. And considering it made about $40 million to make.
So that's successful.
Like we'll be seeing another 50 Shades of Grey film sometime.
We found out on that SNL show we were just talking about that Dakota Johnson is going to be hosting the show in a couple of weeks. And I'm worried that may be a lot for her to take
you
on.
Saying?
Yeah.
Kingsman, the Secret Service, did pretty well in its debut weekend as well. $42 million. Men had to go see something.
Yeah.
SpongeBob movie for the kids, Sponge Out of Water, made $40 million in its second weekend. Then American Sniper and Jupiter Ascending were your top five movies at the box office. Paddington was sixth. The Seventh Son made $4.8 million in its debut. That was good enough to make it number seven. The Imitation Game, The Wedding Ringer, and Project Almanac were the top five. The other top movies this weekend. Conan O'Brien just finished taping a show in Havana, Cuba that will air on March the 4th.
Really?
Yes.
Why are the people clapping for Cuba?
I don't know. People seem to like Cuba. Maybe the Tic Tac inventor was from there.
It's just exciting to think about all the, you know, all the things that are going to, as a result of...
It's exciting.
You're right.
That's
like
exciting.
I said.
That's a good point. Now I'm excited.
A disaster. Venus falling apart before... you're right. It's a crazy town.
I wish I had a do-over on that sentence. I'm saying, what's the president kind of relax the restrictions with Cuba? I feel like there's going to be a lot of entertainment going back and forth between the two countries, and that's what I was trying to say.
Just let it go.
Oh, man.
It's Friday, right?
Yeah, I'm glad we're we're opening up our relationships with Cuba just in time when they've announced in Cuba they've got a brand new strain of the HIV virus.
Which
kills in about 3 months.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so let's go visit Cuba. This will be a good time.
Wow.
We'll have a little fun. Stay away from the hookers. Wow. Today's celebrity birthdays. Luke Robitaille is 49 years old today. L.A. King legend.
There you go.
He's going to get his own freaking statue, for God's sakes. 49 today. Doto celebrates his birthday today.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Bob Toe is celebrating his birthday.
Old do you guys think Doto is, the international man of mystery?
So hard to tell. He could be 13. He could be 80. I have no idea. We have to cut him open and count the rings.
That guy. What would you need him for?
Does Dave know? Dave just handed me this Doto birthday announcement. Does he know how old he is?
I think he's like 32.
You think
really?
So? Think he's that old? I was thinking
older than that even.
Oh, really?
What?
I'm going to say 35. I was saying, Doto is 35.
No, I feel like 27.
Do you know, Dave?
I do not know.
Good work.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that update.
Hey, you went to me.
Yes. Hoping for information. Get on the horn. Call him. Where is he? Guam?
You can't get Doto.
Send up the Doto signal.
International man of mystery.
Yes, he is. Rene Russo, 61. Lou Diamond Phillips is 53. Michael Jordan is 52. Michael Bay, the director, is 50. Denise Richards turns 44. Taylor Hawkins, Billy Joe Armstrong, and Ralphie May all celebrate their 43rd birthdays today. Jason Ritter is 35. Paris Hilton is 34. Joseph Gordon-Levitt is also 34. Cord Overstreet of Glee is 26. And Ed Sheeran is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, Ralph, tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk about the Kobe interviews that he's been doing where he likens himself to Mozart. You know, things like that.
Like Mozart.
Sure. We're trying to get Matt Money Smith on the program tomorrow. We're also going to talk about obscure pop culture tattoos. There is a dude or a chick, I don't know.
A woman
who got a tattoo of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh,
that's
our best justice.
Now, she's a Supreme Court justice.
She is.
She is. By the way, Kevin, she is your favorite Supreme Court justice because she showed up at the State of the Union address a couple weeks ago, bombed, and fell asleep during the speech.
I love her now.
See?
Can I get a tattoo of her sleeping?
Yes, you can.
That I want. And we're going to introduce you to the beautiful, the wonderful music of Jaden Smith.
Oh,
Jaden Smith.
He's gifted.
Exciting. Oh, he's so... I believe firmly it's the future of music.
Yeah.